Breakfast with Martin Bester.
So another story made the news this week about a Pretoria teen, this time around allegedly committing suicide after social media bullying. Here to talk about bullying on the show this morning, my pleasure to welcome Megan Harrington-Johnson. She's a child and family lawyer and also director of the Safe School Program. Megan, thanks for joining us. Good morning.
Thanks for having me, Martin.
Bullying has become more and more of a problem worldwide. It's not just here in South Africa. You see lots of anti-bullying campaigns and stuff because it's real.
That's correct. The prevalence of bullying has spread exponentially over the last couple of years. And we think that the reason behind this is because of the spread of smartphone devices and the availability to young children. Because unfortunately, and you and I both know, there's anonymity behind a screen.
Sure.
It's much easier to be horrible to somebody when you're acting as a keyboard warrior.
Sure.
You know, when you and I were at school, someone would tease you and you would go home and it would go
pull
away.
Pull your hair, punch you, whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. But once you went home, you were all right and it stopped.
It stopped, yeah.
Now it continues 24/7.
What kinds of bullying are we dealing with these days? So when we're talking about social media bullying, this is now shaming on social media, or
and sending of nude pics or unflattering pictures.
Just pause there for a second. How did they get their hands on a nude picture of someone?
Unfortunately, kids we're seeing these days as young as 10 years old are sexting one another. That's taking pictures of each other or of themselves and sending it on to a third party. And these third parties then distribute those images.
And shame them.
Correct. And kids don't realize that they take that one picture and it doesn't go away. It's permanent. It's screenshot. It's sent around the world. And don't be fooled. Your children are engaging in this. Someone in their social circle is doing this type of thing.
As young as 10.
As young as 10. In fact, we've had some cases as young as 6 and 7.
I cannot believe what I'm hearing. That is so, so shocking.
10 is actually the average age for sexting in South Africa.
Are parents aware of this?
No, they're definitely not aware of it. In fact, in most cases when we go into schools, parents don't even know the passwords of their kids' phones.
If you're listening right now, do you know the password to your kids' phone? Should they?
Yes, absolutely.
Should they have phones?
I don't think so. I think that there should be some sort of form of communication, especially under the age of 13. They should perhaps have a phone that can phone only, but not have access to any type of smart technologies.
If you're a parent listening right now, are there signs that you can pick up on, or are they that clandestine?
They're extremely clandestine. They're very good at hiding what's going on their phones. In fact, most kids that we deal with today have things called vault apps on their phones.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen those. Yeah. Sometimes they manifest as an extra calculator on the face of the phone. These kids are so tech savvy. They know how to hide things from you. And you can think that you're on top of it. You're really not.
Who gets the picture out of... are we talking here boys and girls?
We're most of the time talking boys and girls, yes. And
so are these the boys, or are these other friends of the girls saying, ach, you know what, you know?
It differs from case to case.
I mean, so how does a solicit happen? How do they get to take a picture of themselves and then WhatsApp it to someone? That process?
They actually often trade in them. So
they trade in the pictures.
It becomes a situation of who can be the most risque on
Like a dare thing.
Correct. So we're seeing dare groups on WhatsApp groups at the moment. We dare you to do X, Y, and Z. And they're children. They don't understand the ramifications of their actions. And they want to be cool and they want to fit in. And they then take the picture and they send the picture.
So aside from this social media and phone bullying, what other kinds of bullying are we dealing with? The physical bullying is still there?
The usual types of bullying. But what I want parents to understand is that there is a difference between teasing and bullying. Bullying is a pervasive, persistent behavior where someone is consistently broken down and is targeted by people that are perceived to be stronger than them. So it's generally a weaker person in the herd, by a manner of speaking. And parents often get up in arms when their child is teased. You need to understand that that is a normal process that does happen in schools. All our children. It happens.
That's not necessarily bullying.
Correct.
Bullying is pervasive. It's incessant. It's normally hurtful and hateful.
And consistent.
And consistent.
And targeted.
Okay, so that's actually quite an important distinction to make.
Yes.
Insults is one thing. Teasing is one thing. Bullying is something that we've just described now. It happens, dit gebeur oor 'n periode van tyd, dit is aanhoudend, Dit is gewoonlik, jy weet, maak seer. So how do we deal with bullying? What can you as a parent do to stop bullying? What are the roles of the teachers? I think is a pertinent question. If you have any questions to ask this morning, we have Megan in studio with us. Go for it.
How's it, Martin?
How's it, Caitlin? What do you have to ask, Megan?
So we have co-parenting homes. So the question is, you know, how does the law protect us when we want to ensure that the rules around kids and phones and what they're allowed and what they're not allowed to do are the same in both homes, or if they're not, and that's, you know, and it's a question for us. We don't know if it is. How do we kind of approach that?
Okay, so you're divorced. Sometimes the kid is with you, sometimes the kid is with your ex.
Yeah, so it's a 50-50 arrangement. All right. on both sides as well. So we both have new partners, but it's also other kids as well.
So you're saying in your home there's a limit to the smartphone, but when a child goes to your ex, it's not the same rules?
Yeah, but our limit, you know, social media is totally limited, but also technology generally is just, you know, iPads, games,
sure,
all those kinds of things are completely limited. But I have no idea what happens in the other household.
Let's ask the lawyer, the attorney.
Okay, in Caitlin's instance, we deal with this a lot, and I generally tend to tell my clients, unfortunately, when you're a divorced parent, you're actually going to land up dealing with your ex more than when you were married. And if you want to co-parent your children efficiently, that's just what you have to do. You cannot not know what's going on in your partner's home. The two of you need to apply rules uniformly, and generally we like to deal with that in a settlement agreement up front.
Okay.
Before it,
I was just about to say, yes. So in your settlement agreement, before you serve the papers, there needs to be a clause that says
there's a whole section that deals with how we're going to discipline with the children,
the discipline. So yeah, make sure that your social media or / technology discipline rules and regulations need to be in the settlement agreement, in the clause.
Correct. And then
as much as you say there that you can see the child on Thursdays and Fridays and blah, 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 I can see them on Saturdays and Sundays, you need to put a clause in there saying this child will not have access to smartphones until they're 16 or 13 or whatever.
And it applies to every single aspect of how you're going to raise that child.
Just quickly on that, what is a good age where children, you know, should be trusted with smartphones and this access to the World Wide Web, which could be very, very nasty towards them?
It's very difficult to say what an exact age would be, and it would depend on a case-by-case basis. You know your children.
Yeah.
But if you have a look at the various terms and conditions of the social networking sites that they tend to engage on, you'll get an idea of what is appropriate and what's not appropriate. For instance, Instagram, you are not allowed to be on Instagram if you are under the age of 13.
I didn't know that. Parents, did you know that? Mm. No under 13s on Instagram.
That's in their terms and conditions. So that maybe gives you an idea of when the world believes children are capable of coping with these type of tools.
Next question.
Hi Martin en jou gas, ek net weet as die kind nou by die skool gaan en hy word geboelie nou,
ja,
verstaan? Of daar word nou met die kind op die selfoon en so meer, word die kind nou geboelie.
Mm-hmm.
Wat doen daai kind? Hoe kan ons 'n kind leer om te reageer in die regte manier? Wat doen hy?
Great question. How do you teach the child what to do?
You need to teach the children to report it immediately. So
to whom?
To them and to their teachers.
Mm.
If the bullying is happening at school, they need to be aware that their teachers stand in a position of responsibility. They have what's called a duty in loco parentis in respect of the kids. That's a very legal, fancy term, I know.
Mm-hmm.
But they need to immediately tell somebody. So the channels of communication have to be open from the beginning.
What should teachers do? What can you as a parent expect the teacher to do when they know about the bullying?
Something. So we get a lot of complaints that people say the schools are not doing enough. I don't think that that's the case. I think that the schools generally are trying their best to deal with these sort of situations. But the prevalence is so huge that they're being come at from all angles.
Mm.
The teachers also have a duty towards all of the children under their care. So they cannot immediately go and attack another child on the basis of one child's accusation.
Sure.
So the schools need to have proper policies in place to ensure that there are investigations that are implemented as soon as this type of allegation is raised.
Can, for instance, if a child goes to a teacher and says that I'm being bullied, there's a picture, blah, 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 going around, or, you know, they're shaming me with some viral post, should a teacher be able to have a look at the evidence?
Yes, absolutely.
So the teacher can say to the kids, bring your phones.
Correct. And schools should build that into their policies in the beginning. Okay. If you're going to allow children to have smartphones at school, the people in control should be able to have access to those phones.
You see, I think this whole notion that the kids have more rights than they should have has been taken too far. I think people forget that you as an adult, as a parent, you as a teacher, as an adult, you have more rights when it comes to protecting the child's safety than you think you have.
Absolutely.
This whole thing about you, the children these days, they've got so many, you know, so much rights and blah, 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 blah. I think we've taken that too far. Do you agree?
I 100% agree. They're still children.
Yeah. There's also a question about physical abuse coming in on the WhatsApp line. Last round of questions. Now's your time, parents, teachers, kids. 084 850 0942. You're just tuning in. We're hanging with Megan Harrington Johnson. She is from HJW Attorneys and also director of the Safe School Program. Talking about bullying.
Morning, team. I had an instance with my son the first week of school where a boy physically hurt him. That my child literally had boot prints. We could see the shoe on his legs. And unfortunately, when I saw the school, both of the children were punished because in that instance, my son retaliated and kicked this boy back. I just actually want to know, as a parent, what am I saying to my son? If somebody's coming to him and physically attacking him, what should his response be? I realized that he needed to get an adult involved and a teacher involved, and I did say that to him. But are we sending the right message if we're saying to our children, keep your hands down, you're not allowed to hit back, you're not allowed to kick back, you're not allowed to retaliate in any way?
That's a tough question.
It definitely is a tough question, but I think as much as you want to tell your child to stand up for himself, you need to be aware, and he needs to be aware, that getting involved in any sort of altercation like that, where there's any type of physical violence, can actually result in criminal charges against a child. Children are criminally liable automatically from the age of 14.
Okay.
There's a presumption that they can be held liable from the age of 10 to 14. So as young as 10. And getting involved in a fight like that constitutes assault.
So let's say, okay, so that's a fight. Let's say that turns into constant bullying, okay, physical bullying. So your child goes to school and is bullied by the same people over a period of time. What can you as a parent do legally? Can you get an order against those children or that child?
You can, and in fact, your child can do it on their own. There's an act called the Protection from Harassment Act.
Oh, wow.
Which allows children or their parents to approach their local magistrate's court to obtain something akin to a restraining order against those particular perpetrators.
So I don't think parents know this necessarily, unless your parent is an attorney.
No, they don't. And that's why, in my mind, education is the most important aspect of this whole problem. Yeah.
Educating yourself, educating your child, knowing what to how educated the teacher should
be. Educating the teachers, educating the school.
Jeez. Next question, and I think this is the last question because we've run out of time.
Morning. I would like to know, say for instance, your child is the bully. Uh-huh. How is the correct way to deal with that? How is the correct way to make him or her understand that what they are doing is wrong, to stop them from similar behavior and bullying in future?
Question.
Yeah, look, there's only so much that you can do, but in this instance, you're already ahead of the curve because you're recognizing and accepting that your child is acting in this manner. In most of the situations that we deal with, the parents refuse to accept that their child could be doing this, and that only perpetuates the problem. Yeah. So once you recognize the issue, you can deal with it properly.
So just a couple of takeouts from this. Bullying has taken a whole new different form. You know, in 2019. Are we talking here about social media bullying? We're talking about kids being tricked or bullied into sharing a picture of themselves, a compromising picture. That picture gets used against them by other kids to shame them, to kind of cut them down to size and make them feel horrible about themselves. Think about it. Firstly, social media and smartphones, those are not human rights, especially not for a child. In fact, they probably have the human right for you as a parent or an adult to protect them from themselves. So there's no reason why a child should have a smartphone. You called it a dumb phone. I like that. It's a phone that makes phone calls.
Yeah, let them have a means of contacting you. That's all.
There's no reason why a 7 or a 10-year-old must be on social media have a smartphone.
If you want to teach them about technology, do it in a supervised environment.
Absolutely. At school, under the supervision of teachers. Because think about it, you're giving them a device that has become their biggest enemy. They spend time alone at night with that device.
And it gives them access to a big, bad, dangerous world where people are not nice.
It's not completely the teacher's responsibility to raise your child either. Yes, they do have accountability. Yes, they have things that they need to do when they know there is abuse and they know there is bullying. But not all the accountability lays with them.
No, you are still the parents of that child.
And teachers should get involved, right?
As soon as they're notified about it, there is a duty on them to get involved. Yes.
And I like what Megan said and confirmed just now as well. When you go to a teacher as a child and you say to them that I sent a picture to someone's phone and that person is now, they're bullying me into threatening me, that they're going to send it viral and they're going to shame me. The teacher has the right to check those phones.
Correct. And if that is the case, that actually amounts to the crime of extortion. And like we spoke about earlier, yeah, the child that's perpetuating that act can be held criminally liable.
And parents should also know this. This whole notion that the child has more rights than the rest of the world. It's not their private property. Yes, it's their phone, but the parent and the teacher can check the phone.
Provided the school's policies provide for that in the beginning. But the parent, yes, absolutely.
What else? What else was there? When it comes to physical abuse, it's don't tell the child to hit back. I know it seems like the right thing to do, but I didn't know this. There could be legal recourse from age 10 that could result in protection orders against bullies.
And criminal charges.
You, as the innocent victim, you have more rights than bullies. And I think that's also a notion that kids think that these days, what can you do? Oh, what can we do? That's just how the world is. That's not how it should be.
Mm-mm.
It's not how the world just is. Khada, you're a parent. You missed out on another conversation because you were writing the news.
No. I listened. Believe me, if the news bulletin is a bit short, it's because I listened.
Does it make sense from a parent?
It does. But you know what? I also want to angle that, add that angle of in a perfect world, it's a difficult battle to tell your child you're going to go up against this child that's in class with you every day because you go to school, it will not impact your life. It is there and you want to make use of it, but it's difficult.
I
think it's difficult. Schools are a community. You face the other parents. You see the teachers. He sees them. His bullies got their own friends. It's not just...
What's your answer to Gerda? Feels hopeless against the system.
I feel sorry for you. I'm also not a parent, and I know that the parents that speak to us every day say the same thing. You have just got to keep on trying. You're facing a completely different battle to what our parents faced when we were at school. And I think make the school your friend. They really will. They didn't go into teaching to neglect the kids. They want to help you. So if it means moving the child's class or it means getting somebody to oversee them or pay a little bit more attention, involve the school in these sort of things.
I want a billboard. I want a billboard. That's
something
what I want.
Tells me Khada is already involved.
No.
And present.
No.
Would be my guess. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it. Megan from HJW Attorneys. If you want to know more about the Safe School Project, where do we go? Very quickly.
www.safeschool.co.za.
Thank you so much. Listen to the podcast on Jacaranda FM. Any questions, keep them coming on social media.
This is Breakfast. Breakfast with Martin Bester. Your morning family. Every weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Jacaranda FM.